everyone, and welcome to the Trade Addicts Podcast, where the first step is admitting you have a problem. Please welcome your hosts for today's session, Dynasty Outhouse and Brian Haar.
Hey, everybody. I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I am Brian Haar, and I also have a trading problem.
We're getting back to the good old days of just me and Brian today. Just wanted to rekindle our connection. Brian was getting a little jealous that, you know, I was bringing on other people. I wanted to let him know that he is still the apple of my eye.
Aw, so sweet of you.
You know, just gotta, you know, let you know. Don't want to string you along.
It is appreciated.
I don't know about you, Brian, but this weekend I drank way too much alcohol and not enough water, so I was in hell for a few days. So I was lazy and in pain and did no preparation, no research or anything for this show. So instead of throwing something together, instead of, you know, half-assing something, I just said, hey, people on Twitter, you're going to make our show sheet for us. So I asked you guys for some trades, and you guys came through for us. We have a couple of trades to talk about. And I also figured that, you know, since most of what we do is trades, and what do we do on Twitter? Trade polls. We talk a little bit about trade polls before we started talking about the trades themselves. So trade polls, what do we use them for? I use them at the Trade Addicts. Every time there's a poll, every time there's a trade, we throw the poll online, we see who wins, and then we get to make fun of the loser. Clearly, there's better reasons for that. Brian, why do you use Twitter polls?
Yeah, so for me, Twitter polls are just kind of another resource to use to gauge value in the Dynasty community. I'm big on ADPs and looking at where guys are being drafted in terms of, you know, when I'm trying to gauge value and decide, you know, when I'm trying to make an offer and decide who for who and what players do I want to target and what assets do I have and what is the value of those assets. I use ADP a lot. Twitter, though, the Twitter polls are a great way, too, of just kind of getting a pulse from the Dynasty community. I used to actually think that Twitter polls were kind of like not, I don't know, like I would look at them and be like, what are, you know, 24% of these people thinking? Like, this makes absolutely no sense whatsoever, right? But over time, I've come to appreciate, you know, that it might not be what the guys in your league would do or lean in terms of, you know, the percentages of the polls and who wins the deal on Twitter. But it also gives you kind of a starting point as to, okay, well, if, you know, in this poll, if it's 80%, 20%, well, you know, that gives me a starting point. I know if I have that player or one of those players and I'm trying to move him in a deal, you know, I know I may have to, if I'm going for a player of, you know, a certain caliber, I may have to add to my side. So it's just another tool to gauge dynasty value. And I think the more tools that we have at our disposal and the more of them that we use, the better deals we can make. So, I definitely see it as a value, as a positive thing. So,
yeah, like you said, it's another weapon in the arsenal of player value. I was talking earlier about trade calculators online, and even with those, no one is actually correct. You throw your trade into a couple of them and you see how it comes out. But then you also add that to Twitter poll results, and it gives you yet another layer of understanding how the world at large could value the trade. Though you were saying those horribly uneven ones, I love when it's like 96-4, and you're just like, oh, I'm glad that one guy who did that trade voted for his own side.
Yeah, exactly. No, and you're exactly right. I mean, and that's a perfect example, the trade calculators that are out there. You know, it's just another tool to help owners. You know, I mean, we all start somewhere, right? So we all began this dynasty journey somewhere different, and we're all in different spots. You know, some of us have been playing a decade or more. Others have been playing a year. Others have been, you know, just joined their first dynasty league 2 weeks ago. So, you know, all of these tools are ways that you can, you know, don't, I wouldn't use one exclusively. Mm-hmm. You know, you're really being detrimental to yourself if you do that. But all of them together just kind of give you a broader picture and a better picture, I think, of value in terms of player value. So, you know, yeah, the you know, and Twitter polls obviously are a big part of that. And a lot of the Dynasty community is involved in that. So, you know, the people that are voting on these deals, I mean, they're going to be the guys that are in your league a lot of the times. They're also going to be, you know, guys like us who think, you know, who get on a podcast and BS for an hour a week, you know, or whatever. So, you can
say experts. It's okay. We're experts. We know it.
I try to avoid, but, you know, no.
If the shoe fits.
But, yeah, if the shoe fits, no. But for real, I mean, there's a lot of great Dynasty minds. There really are. And there's a lot of guys that have been doing this a long time. You know, and they're going to vote on these trades too. A lot of them do. I know. I mean, we know because we're, you know, we talk to those guys almost on a daily basis. So, you know, so it's a great tool when you combine it with the other tools that are out there, the ADPs, the mock drafts, the, you know, the calculators, all of that stuff, the Twitter polls, you know, you combine it all and you kind of get a broad sense of value. And that's very helpful.
Yeah. And you brought up a great point where you're talking about people new to the Dynasty scene. When I first started Dynasty Leagues, it was with a bunch of, you know, bunch of noobs, bunch of home people that I was in redrafts with. What I did was on our message board, I told everyone to follow at Dynasty Trades and I gave them a link to a Dynasty Trade calculator that I trusted mm-hmm. more than the rest. Because what I found when I first started, I actually, before I started Dynasty, I spent a year listening to podcasts and doing research because I was too afraid of jumping in and just being awful at it.
Mm-hmm.
And I won a championship my first year, so that stuff pays off, everybody. but I found just following Dynasty at Dynasty Trades and just voting in poll after poll after poll, it starts to give you an idea of value. Now, clearly, Twitter has their darlings. Juju will win every poll. Dalvin will win every poll. The 101 will win every poll.
As it should.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, yeah.
At least this year.
Yeah, yeah. but still, you know, through multiple polls, you'll start to learn. And then every once in a while, you'll be like, well, you know, I voted for the 101 in that one, but I think I would take this package, you know, over the other. And you start to extrapolate values off of other random players through voting for all these polls. So sure. If you're trying to bring other people in, that's a great way to get them started. Or following the Trade Addicts podcast and Dynasty Ad House and Brian Haar FF. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah, and another thing, you know, you were talking about kind of Twitter having their darlings, and that definitely is a thing. There are players whose values just are absolutely get driven to through the roof on Twitter. And that's an opportunity as well for Dynasty owners to, mm-hmm. you know, maybe take advantage of that in your leagues, you know, see, get a pulse for, you know, if you have a player that you see and the Twitter poll is 85-15 or something, you know, well, you look at that, the side that's winning and you think, I don't really see that being that far off. Take advantage of that. Go take advantage of players whose values are inflated. And sometimes those values will be rightfully inflated. You know, some of the guys you mentioned, I like a few of those guys, you know, so I'm not saying that, you know, some of those guys won't eventually be worth or aren't worth that because they clearly are sometimes. But other times, you know, again, we all have to kind of form our own opinions on players. And you know, that presents an opportunity to say, hey, you know, I don't like that player maybe as much as the consensus does, mm-hmm. right? So that creates an opportunity. Okay, well, the consensus says this is worth, you know, this player is worth X. Well, you know, I'm going to go try to trade this. I own that player. I'm going to go try to trade them and get, you know, a player that I like just as much plus a piece, you know? So again, Twitter polls, they, you know, they're valuable in more than just a gloating sense to say, hey, I won the Twitter poll, right? I mean, they really do give you a chance to gauge player value and see where there are opportunities in your leagues.
Yeah, just like you said, you know, Twitter polls is just one of our many resources where we try and move along what I think is the best part of Dynasty Fantasy Football, and that is trades. And speaking of trades, I'm getting good at this segue thing. Let's get into our Twitter trades that were submitted to us through Twitter, because that's where Twitter trades get submitted. Yeah. All right. So number one, Elite Empire Fantasy at @EliteEmpire_FF. This is a 12-team, one-quarterback PPR league. Okay, real quick, that is a great thing he did. Give the details of your league anytime you're putting up a Twitter poll.
Very helpful.
Yes, because otherwise people are shooting blind. In general, you're asking people to go in a little bit of faith, not giving them your team, the other team's team, your status in the league, whether you're a competitor or... Give as much detail as you can. You have a lot of characters to fill, and honestly, you're not bugging us by putting in more information. We enjoy this stuff, otherwise we wouldn't do it. So
that's right.
Load that information in. All right, so 12-team, one quarterback PPR. We have Melvin Gordon, Greg Olsen, and the 105 for Le'Veon Bell and a 2020 first. And he even tells us that Le'Veon is going to a win now team. See? Wonderful job, @EliteEmpire_FF. Okay, so I'm going to go first since I'm already rambling. This is pretty okay. I think this trade is probably based around Le'Veon Bell being seen as this year. Is based on Le'Veon Bell being a this year asset. Because who knows where he's going to be next year, and leaving the Steelers, I don't think anywhere he goes, his value will go up. So I kind of feel like once Le'Veon Bell leaves the Steelers, which just seems like an inevitability at this point, his value is going to go down. So you take him now, you use him to win a championship. Melvin Gordon and the 105, to me, should get you Le'Veon Bell. And I don't know what this other team has at tight end, but... Greg Olsen seems to me also like a win-now tight end because he probably only has another year. Then he's off to the Monday Night Football booth with maybe Jason Witten. So we have an all-tight ends commentator group.
That would be unbelievably amazing.
And so generic and boring. And no, Greg Olsen's actually a funny dude.
Yeah, Greg Olsen's a pretty funny dude.
Yeah, so having a win-now team... I would, and even still, you're getting a 2020 first. I think I would take Bell in all of this. I've talked about Melvin Gordon before. I like him. I'm not the biggest fan of his. Greg Olsen in a not tight end premium league is whatever. The 105 is nice, but again, Melvin Gordon and the 105 for Lev Bell, I would take Lev Bell, and you're getting a 2020 first out of it. How do you feel about this one?
For me, this one... is lopsided. And I am on the Le'Veon Bell side on this one. And here's why. So you make some really good points, Russ, in that. And I think that, you know, Melvin Gordon, I believe, is an underrated asset. I really do. He's been, you know, people go to yards per carry. Do you really care about yards per carry?
I mean, if I want to say that someone is good, I'll use yards per carry, and that helps my argument so that
okay.
I like it.
How? Let me ask you this. Do you score points in fantasy leagues for yards per carry, or do you score points because of actual yardage gained?
I think I could work that into our scoring, but as of right
we
now...
We should. That's something that we should actually... Yeah, if we... I mean, we get a little crazy with the Trade Addicts League, so that could be something in the future to look at. I don't know how you would implement that, but I'm glad that you run those, so you can look into that. But so Gordon, he gets the opportunities and he scores fantasy points. He's not the most efficient guy. Mm-hmm. Okay, I mean he's not. At the same time, I owned him in a couple of leagues last year. He was a must start. Not even didn't even think about it every week. Just plug and play. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I like Gordon. But Le'Veon Bell is the best back in the league.
Yep.
by a, I'm not going to say a large margin, because there's some really good backs in this league right now. Todd Gurley's amazing. David Johnson's amazing. And he's easier to root for than Lev, in my opinion. And I'm a Steelers fan, so, but no, I would want Le'Veon Bell in this deal, especially if I was a contender, because he's going to play in Pittsburgh this year. And that makes him unbelievably valuable. The last 2 years, he's put up over 1,800 total yards, I believe, in both seasons. And 2 years ago, that was in 12 games. So, I mean, he has a super high floor when it comes to a per game basis. And, you know, and it, and the ceiling's there, too. I mean, the guy catches 9 balls a game. I mean, not really, but you know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, the guy's going to get his in through the air, and he's going to also get 20 rushes a game most of the time. So he's still only 26 years old. He's an unbelievably conditioned athlete. I mean, look at the guy with his shirt off. It's ridiculous. Yeah. So, he is in tip top physical shape. He's very good. His running style too. I mean, he's a physical runner, but he's that patience thing at the line of scrimmage saves him from getting beat up too. So, I would take the Le'Veon side. And here's the deal. Here's the kicker for me. You're getting a first back. I mean, it's the first to me. This deal's much closer, or somewhat closer, if you take the 2021st out of the deal. I mean, Bell to me is worth the three assets on the other side. So that's how I feel about the deal. I would take the Le'Veon side. I do think there's a concern about next year. I don't know that, or not next year, but following next season.
Oh, it's already this season, so you could say next season.
Okay, so yeah, so I don't know that he's going to end up being a Pittsburgh Steeler moving forward. I have mixed feelings about that as a fan of the Steelers. I won't get into that, but you know, as a fantasy asset, I think you're right in saying I don't necessarily see his fantasy value rising, especially because, you know, after this season, he'll also be 27 years old. So now you're creeping closer and closer to that, you know, forbidden 30 year mark for running backs. So, but you know, but he also isn't going to drop off the face of the earth, I don't believe. So is he going to be a top three running back? Maybe not if he moves on from Pittsburgh. Is he going to be top 10? I absolutely think he's a top 10 running back.
Yes. Well, even so, just based on talent.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. So he's an RB1 regardless. So even moving forward in this deal. So if you're taking him to win the championship this year or to make a push for a championship this year, to me, it's a no-brainer. And even moving forward, I don't think he's an asset that's just going to fall off a cliff.
Yeah, agreed. All right, so we both lean the Le'Veon side for mostly the same reasons. You're a little further there than I am. Maybe I was just trying to be nice for our first Twitter poll. We got to keep the listeners just in case the guy who submitted it was the guy who took Melvin Gordon.
Well, and here's the deal with that. Again, and we say this almost every week, everyone values players differently. Okay, so if you're on the Gordon side of this, I can see why you would make the deal. It's not a horrible deal whatsoever, regardless of what side of it you're on. I just prefer the Le'Veon side.
All right, cool. So let's move on to our next one. Our next trade was submitted by @bscully121. His trade is from a 1QB PPR league. We have AJ Green, James Washington, and Andrew Luck for Doug Baldwin, Matt Stafford, and Marvin Jones. Ooh, there's a lot of my guys in this one. I'm going to need to look at this. You go first.
So for me, I think – so when I first looked at this deal – I mean, when you have AJ Green and Andrew Luck on one side of the deal, that's a pretty strong opinion, right? I mean, that solicits some feelings from the insides, especially if these guys have helped you win. You know, they probably have over the last several years.
Yep.
Couple things though. Number one, Andrew Luck and his health.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not as concerned about that as most people are right now. I understand the concern, but I'm not as concerned about it as most people are. But the fact remains he hasn't thrown a football in over a year. So, you know, saying that, and then AJ Green, while still an elite asset, in my opinion, he is also creeping up there a little bit in age.
He's cracked, and, man. He's 29 turning 30. He's cracked.
So, right? Andy Dalton is his quarterback, at least for this year. That doesn't inspire a ton of confidence, even though AJ Green has put up numbers with Dalton in the past. Dalton's not a really good quarterback.
Nope.
So, you know, I do also like James Washington.
Of course you do.
I do. He's a Steeler. I like him. I think he's primarily going to be a deep threat for them, kind of like Martavis Bryant was. But I'm taking the other side of the deal. Matthew Stafford is a severely underrated quarterback with an unbelievably huge arm. Marvin Jones, we've talked about, I think, literally almost every episode
probably
of this podcast.
Episode,
yeah. As far as being an underrated asset. So I love Jones. And then Doug Baldwin, again, another guy that we've talked about previously in the pod. You know, he's there with Russell Wilson in Seattle. He's, other than Russell Wilson, like one of their only offensive assets. So I'm definitely taking that side. I don't think this is a bad trade at all. I again, this is another one that I could see going either way. And again, when I first saw it, you know, again, AJ Green and Andrew Luck on a side of a deal, usually that side is going to get some attention. But I really like the other piece. I really like the pieces on the other side. So I'm taking the Baldwin, Stafford, and Jones side in this one.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I kind of just agree with you. I really like AJ Green at this point. As to say buy low is wrong, because he's AJ Green and you're going to have to pay for him.
Right.
But I think people are a little too low on him. The Bengals have shored up their offensive line, and that's the biggest problem with Dalton. So when you give Dalton, you know, more than a half a second to throw before he has a dude in his face, he'll be able to hit anywhere near AJ Green. If you get a ball anywhere near AJ Green, he's going to catch the ball.
Sure.
So, I mean, I like AJ Green this year. I know he, like I said, he's full-on old man at this point because he's 29. but I still think he's talented enough where he can still have a good few years of value left in him. So, and, you know, he's AJ Green. I'd be fine riding him into the sunset on my roster. James Washington, I loved before the draft. I knew he wasn't going to go be a wide receiver one somewhere, but he is buried at this point. Maybe he's a good best ball guy, but I don't think you're ever going to choose to start him. Which, you know, is a shame, but it's kind of the reality. And I am more pessimistic on Luck than you are, but still, you can sell the guy cheap and you could buy the guy cheap. So whichever side you're on, you know. Doug Baldwin, Marvin Jones, I love both of them. So, I mean, AJ Green didn't stand a chance. Doug Baldwin, especially this year, he's another guy. He is 29, I believe. He is one of those guys who seems to have already made the Fitzgerald transformation to slot receiver anyway. So I think he has a lot more years left in the league. I don't think he has a skill set that fades. He doesn't count on his speed. It's all his footwork and his handwork. And that is pretty much, not to compare him to Fitz, but that is why Larry Fitzgerald has been around for as long as he has been. Because the dude's good at what he does. It doesn't just count on running past everybody. And I love Marvin Jones. And Matt Stafford is a very dependable quarterback. I would be super happy to have him as my quarterback in a one quarterback league. Honestly, I'm kind of making it seem like this is a landslide, and it's by no means. This is a very good trade. If I needed studs on my team, like if this was 10 teams, I would all be all about that AJ Green side. And especially if Luck comes back healthy, then that is a baller addition to your team. But, I mean, those are two of my guys. So, yeah, definitely leading that side.
And who would have thought Matthew Stafford, the way his career started, who would have thought that he would be so dependable?
Yeah, right? When he first came into the league, I was not a fan of his. And
well, he was hurt all the time. I mean, he got hurt there in the first his rookie season, I believe, and then again in his sophomore year there. So, yeah, I mean, who would have thought? Now, you know, now he's like, I don't want to say an Iron Man, but I mean, he's played through a lot of injuries too that would have kept most guys out. So, yeah, no, that's a good way, I think, to describe him. He's dependable.
Yes, and with one quarterback, that's all you really need. As long as he's not going to lose you weeks, then that's good enough.
Yep.
All right, let's move on to at Draft Dad Dave from the Draft Dads podcast. Go listen to their podcast.
Dave?
Hey, Dave. we have another Melvin Gordon trade. We have Melvin Gordon and, dude, how am I blanking? Michael Gallup? Is that his person?
I believe so, yes.
All right, good enough. Michael Gallup and Melvin Gordon for Dalvin Cook. I'm guessing you're leaning Dalvin?
Yes, I'm leaning Dalvin. Slightly. So here's the deal with Dalvin Cook. It is Michael Gallup, too. You were correct. Cool. So I have been a big fan of Dalvin Cook for the better part of the last, I don't know, 10 months, eight to 10 months. It was super unfortunate that he suffered the injury. He looked like he was going to be a really special player in the league. Still might be, probably will be. He's definitely going to get the usage in Minnesota. They're going to ride him. He's going to be their bell cow. Don't let coach speak get to you. Lat Murray's not, yeah. I mean, he'll get a few touches, but I mean, Dalvin Cook's going to be the workhorse in Minnesota.
Lat Murray's Go not ahead. A thing. He never was, never will be. The dude fell into the end zone like 14 times in 1 year, but that's really all he did if you think about it.
Right. So I love Dalvin. I mean, I have historically loved Dalvin, but lately, just recently, I've started to kind of turn the other way. Not because I don't like Dalvin Cook and not because I don't believe in his talent, but because this is a guy that we've seen for four games. And I've said in the past, literally probably two episodes ago, because I'm like that. I'm like a woman that way. I change my mind that quickly. So, but I have started to, I just feel like he's being overdrafted.
All right. So it's not that you like him any less.
No,
it's just that his value is getting a little out of control.
Correct. I think that where he's being drafted in startups, you know, we're talking about like early to mid second round. And he's played four games. Right.
Yeah, but, so, I mean, you know, there's Baquan hasn't played any. And I heard rumor of him going 101 in a startup recently.
Yeah, I mean, I can't advocate that. As much as I love the guy, I can't advocate 101 in a startup. I think that's a little excessive. I would take him before Dalvin Cook, for sure. And not just because of the hype. I would rather own him.
Where do you think is actually a good spot for Dalvin in startups? Just
get
your ADP part of this down.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know exactly. I would probably look to draft. I mean, I don't think it's way out of whack. I don't think that it's not like he's Devontae Adams. That dude's way out of whack.
Aaron Rodgers connection, man.
Yeah,
automatic wide receiver, top three wide receiver.
Here. Get out of here with that crap. That dude, this is going to send me on a tangent now.
Do it.
So Adams, this dude has never caught more than 74 balls in a season.
Has he broken 1,000 yards yet?
Nope.
There you go.
So he's gotten in the end zone, 10 and 12 the last 2 years. So 22 touchdowns over the last two seasons. You can't argue with that, but touchdowns are such a unpredictable statistic. Now, they're a little bit more predictable with Aaron Rodgers at the helm. But is Aaron Rodgers going to be at the helm? I mean, he's been injured in two of the last three seasons where he's missed like more than a quarter of the year. So I believe, anyway.
Well, they have DeShone Kizer as their backup now. So, you know, all is well,
DeShone
right?
DeShone Kizer that couldn't even make it with the Browns.
Well, I mean, the Browns.
Fair enough, the Browns. No, but I just so back to Dalvin Cook. So we don't get too far off track here, but I don't know. Late second, early third, I think is more reasonable. Mm-hmm. You know, but at the same time, I also have been sitting there in that range thinking about taking him. So mm-hmm. it's hard to say one thing and then not and then do another, you know? I mean, it's hard to say you shouldn't, you know, maybe he's being overdrafted and then not take him, right? If you're sitting there in those spots. So I get that. I would want him in this deal, not because, again, we talked about Gordon in one of the earlier trades. I like Gordon. I think he's better than what people give him credit for. I don't know that Michael Gallup makes the difference. If it was one of the receivers like Ridley or Sutton or Moore, you know, then yeah, I would be more inclined to lean that way a little bit more. But Gallup to me, you know, it's not that I don't like him as a possible talent. It's just Dallas for me right now is just I just am trying to stay away from their air game. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, Zeke, I have no reservations about owning Elliott from a usage and talent standpoint. Now, from a knucklehead standpoint, maybe so. But, you know, I don't have a problem owning Zeke. But their air game and in super flex leagues, even Dak, I mean, it's hard for me to buy into that pass game in Dallas right now. We'll see what happens. You know, I know they brought in Allen Hurns. You know, and then drafted Gallup. So we'll see what happens with those guys. But I'm not super optimistic about that situation. So for me, he doesn't make up the difference between Melvin Gordon and Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with you. And I'm going to use the dirty phrase of team specific on this one. We don't have any league details on this, but I guess it doesn't really matter. If I have a team where Dalvin Cook is the only running back I have, and you need to start more than one. You need to divest isn't the right word. You need to, you know, break down a stud to get extra pieces. You need to spread the wealth around your roster.
Sure.
This is kind of a good move to me because, like you've been saying this whole time, Melvin Gordon's not bad. He's not great, but he's an every week starter. He is someone that won't lose you a week. And Gallup has a chance of not being a number one, but of getting decent volume. Who else is going to catch the ball in Dallas? I mean, I know that game is going to be a mess, but there's a chance of him being very relevant. And even if he slots in as my wide receiver three, if he's an every week guy that I got for not really the biggest difference of value between Gordon and Cook to me, I think I would do that. I mean, again, I love Dalvin Cook. I could see both sides of this and team specific, unfortunately, but in a vacuum is how we have to judge all of these trades because that's all we have. I still think I go Gordon and Gallup. Maybe it's the little bit of rookie fever that I hope works out. But yeah, I think I'm going to take that side.
So speaking of rookie fever, do you have any thoughts on Justin Jackson joining that backfield from Northwestern, the running back from Northwestern? No.
No.
Okay. I just wondered. I mean, he's one of those guys that has picked up a little bit of steam. Just in terms of hype, not in terms of like taking over for Gordon, but just cutting into the workload a little bit.
Yeah, I've been picking up Austin Eichler everywhere just because there was a small stretch where he got a decent amount of receiving work. And we talked about it either last show or the show before. I almost said San Diego, how Los Angeles Chargers like to use a receiving back. But I mean, yeah, Dalvin Cook is a bit of a workhorse, but there's so few of them. And the fact that he'll still get all of the rushing work, I don't think that's something you need to worry about.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
But that is a good little hint for people still in their rookie drafts, or if it's ended, go check your wire for Jackson, because if Gordon goes down, you never know who's going to really step up, because they don't have a workhorse guy they could use behind him.
Right.
So worth a pickup. All right. And our last trade on the sheet from at OX_SOTA. I don't know if I'm supposed to say those letters or spell them out, so I'm just going to say the letters. We have No, 14-team Superflex. I almost said Melvin Ingram. Mark Ingram for Marshawn Lynch, a 2019 first and a 2019 second. I would take Lynch and the picks. I know Lynch is like 60, and who knows what Gruden's gonna do and why Doug Martin exists in the NFL, no less on the Raiders. But there's a chance Lynch can start for you as a bye week replacement, if anything. But really, honestly, Ingram for a first and a second in a super flex is probably a good enough trade on its own. Last week, when we were talking about his value for when he got suspended, I mean, you were saying the 112, and is there that big of a difference between the 112 one year and a 2019 first the next, no less a first and a second? If you don't need the value right now, I mean, I think then I would take the picks just because, if anything, it's more assets you can deal whatever you need with, whether it's using them in the draft or if it's adding them to another player to, boost your side of a trade. I like Ingram. I just don't think he's a main piece on a team where something like this shouldn't be done with him.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. I like Ingram as an asset. I'm trying to buy him right now, especially on team where I have some depth where, I'm not maybe going to need him for the first 4 weeks of the season. But I would take the picks in this deal as well. And I'm actually looking at the Lynch thing. And did you? I'm assuming it's Marshawn as well. But do we know for sure it's Marshawn? Even if it's Paxton, I guess it doesn't matter, right? I mean,
Yeah,
I'm
because we
still you're
pretty
still
much
taking the
are.
picks.
Yeah, we're pretty much writing off Lynch. That's
Sure.
my, hey, there you go. You always
Yeah.
think you know who you're talking about. Everyone else might not know who you're talking about. Throw a first initial if there's multiple dudes with the same last name.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm taking the picks though as well. I mean, I think, that those picks will only grow in value moving forward. Especially once you get beyond the season next, this coming year. Or you could turn around and flip that first for another running back that won't be missing a quarter of the season. Shady McCoy, or I mean, I'm not advocating buying McCoy right now, but I mean, a guy like that or another guy in that realm that could help you this season. You could flip that first for that asset, and then you have a second sitting there for basically for nothing. It's so I mean, I definitely am taking the picks on this one as well. And who knows? I mean, if this team struggles, that might end up being a top five pick next year. And this is, it's a pretty nice receiving class as far as that goes next year. So, yeah, I'm definitely taking the picks on this one as well.
All right, and I'm going to spring one on you. This is a Trade Addicts 3 trade, so
All
we know the
right.
details of that one. 12-team, Superflex, PPR, tight end premium. Again, don't need to say tight end premium because there's no tight ends in this one.
Yep.
But we were talking about rookies, and I want to talk about quarterbacks a little. So we have Lamar Jackson and Jarvis Landry for Josh Rosen and Cooper Kupp. What do you think of this trade?
Oh my.
On the spot. Let's go.
So this for me, woo, that's a doozy.
Right?
That's a doozy. So I just looked right now at it for the first time. I actually missed that one somehow. I'm not sure how I missed that one, but so I'm gonna go with the underdogs here. I would take the Josh Rosen side with Cooper Kupp. And for me, it comes down to the quarterbacks in this one. I like Lamar Jackson. I do. I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen in Baltimore with quarterbacks. I know that Joe Flacco is probably done soon. He's been done as far as productivity
For a while
since,
now, yeah.
yeah, for a couple of years. So, but I just can't. I don't know. There's something. I think Jackson in on a different team would have been. I would have drafted him higher if he had gone to another team. Baltimore isn't, they're a defensive team. They always have been a defensive team. They're gonna ask him not to turn the ball over, is what they're gonna do.
I mean, Ozzy's gone. Do you think there's a culture change coming?
I mean, it's certainly possible. It's certainly possible. I think they would be well served to change the culture there and move to a more offensive, not completely forget about defense. I mean, it's the Ravens, right? They're going to always focus on defense, but I think they need to shift towards an offense that can put some points up in that division. I mean, if you look at the other offenses in bar Cincinnati, you know, Pittsburgh's strong on offense. Cleveland is sneaky strong, you know, at least on paper. You know, if Mayfield is anything close to being worth the number one overall pick in the NFL draft, then that offense is going to be better, much better. You know, they brought in Landry. Gordon is back.
Don't forget
nobody knows how long, but Corey Coleman, baby. Please, we got to drive up some Corey Coleman value here so that I can
Corey
sell
Coleman.
Him every. Yeah, good grief. I would love for them to trade Corey Coleman so that he had a chance. Here's the deal. I'm going to switch gears here and off of Rosen, off of Jackson and to Josh Rosen. I believe Josh Rosen was the best quarterback in this class. I like Mayfield a lot. He's exciting. He's accurate. But I believe Rosen is the most pro ready. I think he's literally going to step right into that role in Arizona. If not week one, by week three, Sam Bradford will, his knee will probably give out on a handoff or something. You know, so I just feel like Rosen, you know, we had Brandon on a couple of weeks ago, and he was talking about the offensive line improvements in Arizona. They drafted three offensive linemen this year. You know, so you know, they have David Johnson there. They have Larry Fitzgerald there to help mentor him as far as you know, the big knock on Josh Rosen is his attitude, right? And his, you know, overconfidence, whatever. A guy like Larry Fitzgerald is a great guy to have in that locker room for Josh Rosen to be able to be with in that locker room. So the combination of me believing that Rosen was the top quarterback in the draft and the situation in Arizona, you know, super flex leagues are all about quarterbacks, not all about quarterbacks, but they're definitely quarterbacks are definitely, you know, the main asset, I guess, in super flex leagues. And I like that quarterback better. So that's why I'm going there. Now, I like Jarvis Landry a little bit better than Cooper Kupp. You know, Landry's floor is pretty high, right?
Yes.
He's been consistent. He's going to get his, right? Or at least we can assume he's going to get his, okay? Having said that, Kupp in his rookie season put up a season that is almost what Jarvis Landry has done. I mean, he had like 980 some yards in his rookie season. Landry's, you know, I mean, I think he topped 1100 last year, but that's, I mean, you're in the ballpark, right? And he caught more touchdowns. He caught like three or four more touchdowns than Landry did. So, you know, so I mean, actually, I don't know that that's true either for last year. I think Landry had an outlier year, didn't he?
Yeah, Landry had like seven or nine touchdowns last year.
Yeah. So, but historically, he's had four or five.
Yes.
And in this Cleveland offense, we don't know how many, you know, where they're going to look in the red zone, at least at this point. You know, Kupp was a guy that, you know, I mean, Goff seemed to really have a connection with him. I don't know if that stays the same. You know, Brandon Cook's in town now. I don't know how that changes things, if it changes things at all, but I think Kupp is a good enough player in that role. I mean, he has a very defined role. He's a slot guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's taking his job in the slot.
Nope.
In LA. So, to me, again, the quarterbacks, I like Rosen better than I like Jackson. I like Jackson, but I don't. But I like Rosen much better, and you know, I like Landry a little bit better. But I would lean to the other side because I think Kupp is capable of doing similar things to what Jarvis Landry does. This is a pretty fair trade. When I'm looking at this deal, though, value wise, I think it's a very good deal.
Yep. Good job, Trade Addicts 3. And real quick, Trade Addicts 4, step up your game, man. This is embarrassing.
Hey, back off.
Dude, you're, first of all, it took 2 weeks to finish the startup, and it's been 2 days since that, and not a single trade has been done.
Hey, we just had to enjoy, we wanted to enjoy the draft process. It's a fun process. We wanted to enjoy it. We wanted to savor the draft.
I'm sure you had very enjoyable naps in between picks.
Oh, they were enjoyable. Some of them were very enjoyable naps, yes.
All right, so real quick, I'll give my quick thoughts on this. This trade is safety versus ceiling to me. Josh Rosen was always said to be the most pro-ready out of these quarterbacks. Fell into, like you said, a spot where by week three, Sam Bradford will sneeze too hard and pull a hamstring and
yep.
need surgery on it. And Cooper Kupp, we know where he is, what he did last year, and there's zero reason for that to change. Landry is in a new place, got paid money that seems like he should be doing more than what he was in Miami, but we don't know if that works for him or works between him and Baker. But like we said, like I just said, he got paid for to be a number one, and while flash is still there, if you know Landry gets more average depth of target than 4 yards, who knows what he could really be. So to me, again, ceiling versus safety, I would probably take the Rosen side, but let's be honest, in the Trade Addicts leagues, if someone floated me Lamar Jackson and Jarvis Landry,
you would do the deal.
I would probably do it also.
Yep.
Because that just sounds like fun.
Sure.
All right, man. Well, that was a lot of fun because I didn't have to do any preparation for it whatsoever. There'll just be a lot of editing over my ums and having to think about what I said out loud. But that's fine because I do the work for you people because I care that you enjoy this show. Yeah.
Chocolates for everybody.
Chocolates for everybody. All right, man. All right. So thanks again for listening. I try every morning whenever I'm awake enough and whenever I actually have something to say to throw a good morning tweet out there from my Dynasty Outhouse Twitter handle just to, you know, give a little quasi-motivation, quasi-reminding you guys to go trade stuff and to give a little hint, give a little nudge. Today's was, you know, getting back into, you know, the group chats, get into offers you haven't been, that have faded away. You know, try and get engaged is really what it is. This game is for fun, and you signed up for it because you found it fun. So don't let yourself get distracted or overwhelmed or just, you know, don't let it not be fun. Get back into it. Remember why it was fun for you in the first place, because I love this stuff. Clearly Brian does, because he puts up with me gabbing about it. And, you know, go have fun. That's all I got to say. All right. See you later, Brian.
See you later, man.
Boom.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addicts Podcast. Please follow us on Twitter at Trade Addicts Pod and follow our hosts at Dynasty Outhouse and at Brian Haar FF. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review. Have a nice day, and we will see you next time on the Trade Addicts Podcast.